That song is In the Dirt by S. Carey. He is one of the members of the band Bon Iver, which is a Grammy award-winning band that has its roots in humble Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We are going to talk about how humble Eau Claire, Wisconsin has become hip Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It's now considered a millennial magnet. How did that happen? Do you live or do you spend time in Eau Claire? Have you witnessed this transformation? Is your community doing things to try to retain and attract young people? What are you doing? And what can we learn from Eau Claire? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Nick Meyer, the publisher of Volume 1, the arts and culture magazine for the Chippewa Valley. He is owner of The Local Store and Volume 1 Gallery, and creator and part owner of the Oxbow Hotel and The Lakely, a boutique hotel and farm-to-table restaurant and bar. He was also quoted in a recent Milwaukee Journal Sentinel piece, How Eau Claire Became a Magnet for Artsy Millennials in Wisconsin. And we've posted that story and a video about that story on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks a lot for being with us.
Oh, thrilled to be a part of it.
I had two listeners from Eau Claire send me this this video and this story about how Eau Claire became a magnet for artsy millennials. And I have to admit, I thought to myself, and somebody, one of our listeners said, has it really? Has Eau Claire become a magnet for artsy millennials?
Well, of course, you know, media, we all love, you know, I'm part of it as well. We love to tell a good story, and there is a great story of that happening right now. There's often a little bit of hyperbole mixed in with those sentiments, but it does seem that we are moving in a really great and strong direction as a community with so many positive things happening, and there's a lot of anecdotal evidence, at least, that is, in fact, the case, that we are starting to really get some traction with retaining young people and, of course, you know, convincing them to come back to our community to start businesses and start families. And so things are definitely moving in the right direction in Eau Claire right now.
Well, we'll get some statistics a little bit later, but let's first take a step back. What challenges did Eau Claire face before it gained this reputation? I was calling it humble Eau Claire. What was Eau Claire?
Well, I mean, for a long time, you know, Eau Claire is a hard-working community, and one of the big narratives that always comes up when you talk about recent history of Eau Claire is the closing of the Uniroyal tire plant here, which lost some 1,300, 1,500 jobs, something like that, in the 90s, and trying to climb back from that and reclaim its downtown. You know, the nationwide trends were certainly a part of what happened in the narrative of this community as well, where downtowns were somewhat left for dead, you know, through the 70s, 80s, and even into the 90s. And just like a lot of the nationwide trends now, it's making a very strong resurgence as we rediscover ourselves and what our downtowns are, what our riverfronts and our waterways are, creating trail networks and park systems, and really kind of trying to create an entrepreneurial spirit and a cultural spirit of yes, we can move forward as a community, we can create a new identity, and we can build ourselves into whatever we want to be, and we don't have to be tied to necessarily the past of our communities, although those are important things to keep in mind. So throughout that process, I mean, really, Eau Claire, over the last 15 or so years, and especially downtown Eau Claire, has completely changed. People who might have come at the university here for school or have been here before or lived here at a previous time really would not recognize the community at all anymore, both in a physical sense in terms of the structures in our community and the events and things that take place, but also in just the attitudes of the people who live here. It's a completely new school of thought and a new way to approach how we think about ourselves inwardly and outwardly as we start to see a lot of attention from throughout the region and the country.
So how did Eau Claire view itself before?
Well, I mean, you know, we've been at Volume One. We've been doing our thing for about 15 years. And when we first started, it was a very pervasive attitude that there was just nothing to do here, and there was really not a lot of redeeming value. There were certainly pockets of people who knew and believed and did understand that there was some very cool things happening, but the mainstream consensus that we sensed tend to be that it was just there's nothing much, no reason to stay, no reason to visit, certainly. And as we've tried to do the work that we have, and so many people have had so many successes over these years of changing that narrative and proving otherwise, it's just been a complete and total reversal to where now I think the mainstream opinion is, wow, this town has a lot going for it, and people outside of our area are starting to understand that as well, and they're coming to visit and check the place out. And there's a long list of things for people to do now related to the music scene and festivals and breweries and new hotels and art studios and just, I mean, the list can go on and on of the amenities that we have to work with as a community that we've built together over these last couple of decades.
What led to the beginning of this spark, the redevelopment?
Well, that's probably hard to point to. Every community has a different formula that gets them there. I think a lot of it is, the first piece of it is tied to our natural resources, of doing a much better job of using those resources. And our city has taken a lot of leadership in building an amazing trail network and an amazing park system that has sparked a new love from the residents here of the geography of their location, since those amenities were ignored for so long and rivers were just places for factories and everybody's backs were turned and faced the other way. So we've done a better job of elevating those elements of our community, which attracts a certain element of people who want a certain style lifestyle. And as we have a few success stories start to happen in music and in entrepreneurship and things, it starts to inspire more people to start their own things and create businesses and events and concepts that can kind of fuel that fire. And it starts to create what I call sort of a feedback loop effect, where you have one idea or one impulse to create something, a lot of people support that, and it has some sort of success, and that success inspires the next person, and pretty soon you get this fever pitch going of just positivity and can-do attitude of reinventing ourselves.
Yeah. How has the Eau Claire's Music Festival played a role in this?
It's been kind of a crown jewel effect. A lot of what's good about this community has been building regardless of that festival. And there are five or six major music festivals here that attract upwards of 20,000 people across the summers in country, rock, bluegrass, kind of the indie rock scene and folk and things. And that one is one that gets an enormous amount of attention because it's so creative and so outside the box. And it is obviously curated and anchored by Justin Vernon of Bon Iver, as you mentioned, the Grammy Award-winning act that's from Eau Claire and has kept a lot of roots here. And so much of their narrative is about place and where they're and what Justin writes about is where he's from. And there's a strong sense of pride in place in a lot of his work. So when people come to that festival, they're very curious about what is happening in this town. Why is this place so inspiring to this musician that they love? And so they do a lot more exploring and checking the place out. And with the type of acts that they have and the very robust art installations and things that they have at the festival, there's a lot more national media attention for that festival than some of the others, which means that it tends to be the door into which, like when Time Magazine did a piece last summer on Eau Claire, they'll use that as the hook, and that's the kind of the national piece. Anybody could come to this festival, but then when they dig just a little bit further into what else is happening in our community, they uncover this whole treasure trove that's been building over these last several years, and so there's plenty more to talk about than just the festival itself, and that tends to drive the narrative of a lot of this interest that we're seeing, and it's been an unprecedented amount of interest from not only regional media in Minnesota and Wisconsin and throughout in the Midwest, but, I mean, national attention as well, like I mentioned. So it's good that there is more behind there than just the festival, but that kind of kicks open the door, and once people poke their head in and look around, they discover that there's something kind of special happening.
We are talking about what is happening in Eau Claire with Nick Meyer, who is publisher of Volume One, the arts and culture magazine for the Chippewa Valley. We are talking with him because there was a recent piece in the Milwaukee Journal, which was titled How Eau Claire Became a Magnet for Artsy Millennials in Wisconsin. So we're talking about how that happened and what lessons we might learn from Eau Claire. We're welcoming your questions, your own experiences. Do you live in Eau Claire and have you witnessed this transformation? Do you visit Eau Claire? What's so special about Eau Claire? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. How can communities become magnets for millennials? We'll talk more after this news. Is the band Woods, or is that the song Woods by Idle Empress, which is a band that played on Setlist. We played it because we are talking about Eau Claire's cultural renaissance. And our guest is Nick Meyer, who is publisher of Volume 1, the Arts and Culture magazine for the Chippewa Valley, talking about how Eau Claire became a magnet for young people and tourism, and wondering if there's any lessons we can learn from the city of Eau Claire. And we're welcoming your own questions and experiences at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel recently explored this issue, and we have posted its piece and its video on how Eau Claire embraced arts and technology and brought in both young people and business. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, let's take some calls. We have some Eau Claire residents or transplants. Bobby in Eau Claire is with us first. Hi, Bobby. Oh, I'm sorry that we lost Bobby. There must have been a little technical error there, but you know what? Vinny in Eau Claire, I think, is still here. Hi, Vinny.
Hi, Joy. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you for calling. So you moved to Eau Claire, right?
That's right. I moved to Eau Claire in September.
And what brought you to Eau Claire?
Well, Prince died, and I think a lot of us in Minnesota, Minneapolis especially, were sort of like wondering what to do next. And I felt like there was a big calling to come to Eau Claire because of what Justin was doing here and just the school and just the feeling I got.
Really? So what kind of feeling do you get from Eau Claire?
Well, there's the river here, and I feel like it's a place where people come to start a family. And I guess I'm 37 now, so I'm sort of looking for that kind of adventure in my life.
Yeah. Besides the Eau Claire's Music Festival, what else do you enjoy about the city?
Well, I'm really into, like, the nature of it, and, I like to walk around and look at stuff. There's a lot of good places to get coffee. For me, one of the things I like to do, especially in Minneapolis, was go to live music shows. And I think this town really needs a DIY, sort of all-ages music venue to sort of bring in the younger kids, the millennials, and give them a place to go without having it be a bar or somewhere where there's a distraction from the actual music itself.
Thanks, Vinny. Well, here we go. Nick, someone who recently moved to Eau Claire, he told our producer it was because of the Eau Claire's festival following following the death of Prince. He used to be in Minneapolis. What do you make of that?
Well, yeah, the festival has done a very good job of recruiting for us. I mean, I'm even aware of just a handful of stories, and there's probably more beyond that, of people who have moved here. I mean, actually, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article led with one of those. A woman and her husband came here from Portland, Oregon, who work remotely, so they can really be anywhere in the country that they want to be. The companies that they work for are located elsewhere, but now that they're here, they've found a couple other entrepreneurial types, and she's looking to start a bookstore downtown, and they have a kind of a roving thing started that they can parlay into finding a space and opening kind of a proper independent bookstore here. There's another guy who brought his family up to start a recording studio, and these things sound, well, that sounds nice, but I mean, these are legitimate businesses being set up that end up employing people and attracting more people as well. And so for someone to come from Austin, Texas, to come up here because, you know, they're kind of, what happens, I think, is a lot of these communities that we hear about for a long time, like Austin or Portland and Nashville and things, they get built up and they do an amazing thing for a long time, but it gets harder and harder to do your thing there. And you kind of hear stories from people that it becomes harder to break in and make an impact in those sort of cities. So they're looking to kind of come to the next places where they could have an impact of some kind. And so in a community like Eau Claire, it's just big enough that anything you do can matter. There's enough people to pay attention to it and be a part of it, but it's not so big that it's too costly to break into it or to start a business or to find those opportunities. So you get a whole range of people that are kind of, when Vinny mentions looking for kind of the next thing, there's a lot of different motivations in those, and sometimes those can be, they're just varied, and that's what makes an eclectic community grow and become culturally more interesting.
Do you think Eau Claire's proximity to the Twin Cities has affected its growth?
I think it has. In ways both good and bad. I mean, there's, and that's the thing, over here on the western side of Wisconsin, I mean, we identify very closely with the Minneapolis-St. Paul market, and for a long time, and still, when people want those bigger city cultural amenities, you might just take the hour and a half drive over to the cities for something that you might need. And so a lot of the creative energy of this community had been migrating to the Minneapolis area for a long time, and still does, but there's been a really good back and forth energy there, and obviously the Eau Claire Music Festival draws a lot of people from the Minneapolis area because it is so close by, and again, that's the door that gets kicked open to explore the place, but when they start looking a little bit further, they find a lot of things that are of value to them in their lifestyle and their careers as they grow into those phases.
Thanks again to Vinny for calling. Bobby in Eau Claire is back with us. I'm happy to report. Hi, Bobby.
Hi. Yeah, it's Joey. So this story is kind of the reason why I came to Eau Claire. I actually moved to Eau Claire from New York around 6 years ago, and my main reason actually was a cost of living adjustment. I couldn't get my own apartment in New York after taking a break from college, and for a place that, you know, the college cost of housing with a great community of people with a great scene of just arts and culture, I fell in love with it. I've been here ever since.
Well, that's great. But you live in Eau Claire, but you work in the Twin Cities?
Yes, I do. I graduated from Stout, and I actually found a company in the cities that is looking to fill an engineering position. So I do make that drive. It gives me time to listen to your show.
Oh, good.
but it's working. I may be relocating a little bit closer, but on the other side of Eau Claire, hopefully.
Yeah. So besides the cost of living, is there a vibe in Eau Claire that that keeps you living there?
I have a good group of friends, a community in board gaming, and sort of the nerd community there is not an unsung hero, I'd say. You've got a lot of people who have just have a lot of fun playing board games and trading card games, things that you can find elsewhere, but it's a group of people that make it a super hospitable environment and a lot of good shops that support it. So
wonderful. I love that. So friendly gaming nerds live at Eau Claire, Nick.
Apparently so, yeah. I mean, he's right. There are some cool communities and retail things that have popped up in recent years. And again, you're talking about millennials and things. There's a lot of different interest areas and things that group of people get excited about. And we are more and more adding the types of amenities that speak to those lifestyles that make it attractive for them.
What do you make of, I think this is interesting that he that it's the cost of living that's also important to him.
Oh, well, that's a huge piece of it. I mean, you have, you know, when a lot of times, a lot of my peers, when I was, we were just getting Volume 1 started, you know, there's always that hunger to kind of go to a big city and kind of spread your wings and see what you can make of things there. But that, after a while, gets tiresome for a lot of people. It gets very costly for a lot of people. And becomes very attractive to kind of take a more mid-sized community and make a go of it there. And one of the things that makes that so possible is that cost of living piece, that you can buy homes at just a dramatic fraction of what they would cost in a bigger area, or even, you know, places the size of Madison and things like that. So that makes it doable for a lot more people. But also at the same time, and you have to be honest, I mean, the jobs necessarily don't pay what they pay in those bigger cities, but you have to do your own math on where do those things net out, and more people are finding that it nets out in the benefit of being in a community like Eau Claire. We, you know, at Volume 1, we have about 25 employees, and actually right now we are adding 4 new positions at Volume 1 in varied areas, and we have people calling from Chicago and all over the place who are looking to kind of just shift gears a little bit, and they know that there's that differential in the cost of living, but they're interested and excited about what's happening here. It's fun to be a part of a place that's still building itself. You know, it doesn't have an identity that's already set and sealed, and like I said, maybe hard to break into sometimes. People can be a part of the build here right now. A lot of exciting things are happening. And then there's I work with Visit Eau Claire, our tourism group, on some things sometimes, and they've had a consultant come in who for a long time ran the Visitors Bureau in Madison. And I think a lot of the energy that was happening in Madison through the 90s of building all of your larger facilities and exciting things happening downtown, that's the scene here right now, is what he said. This Eau Claire has the energy that Madison had a while back because we're building everything out. All the ideas are on the table. Everybody's moving forward full speed, and it's just got this really great sense of opportunity and possibility right now.
Jen on Facebook has some praise for you, Nick. She wants you to take credit. She says Volume 1 has been crucial to the Renaissance, especially in the new attitude. V1 has given Eau Claire a voice that highlights what is right about this place and its people. Volume 1 also is the go-to for cool things to do and brings people out and brings people together. Other communities wishing to imitate what Eau Claire has done should look to your paper for inspiration. Well, that's great. I'm glad she, because I was going to say, you really, Volume 1 is critical to this cultural renaissance. I know you don't want to toot your own horn, Nick, but tell us what your vision was with Volume 1.
Well, we've certainly been a part of telling the stories of what's happening, but I mean, none of that would matter if there weren't stories to tell. Mm-hmm. And you know, we first started the magazine, people, and this was in 2002, we had one issue out, and people sort of joked, well, there you go, you covered all the stuff that there was to cover in that one issue, and, you know, good luck with the rest of it. And we've had, you know, 300-some issues since, and there's never been a lack of genuinely, like, exciting people to talk about, ideas to talk about. And so as long as we can find those people and help tell those stories, they will continue to inspire each other to keep doing more. And so, yeah, we've done a lot of stuff in the community, and it's been a lot of fun. We produce events in the community. We do concert series on the river and art festivals and winter events, and we have the retail store and all the events that we do in our gallery every year. So we stay really busy and have a good time, but it, you know, none of that would matter if there weren't all these other people on the same end of the rope, just pulling in the same direction, and more adding on to that list really every year.
Yeah. And you were founded in part, I saw a TED Talk where you said you tried to shop a story around that you had written about a local band, and the local media was saying, hey, that's not the way it works. We, you know, we'll do our own stories, thanks. And so you that was your first story for Volume 1, and you realized that you can tell these stories yourself.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the media in any community has a job to do, and they do it well, especially here. And there's not always room for some of those cultural stories and the undercurrents of what's happening in a community, and that's what we really grabbed onto right away, was to try to tell those untold cultural stories that were happening and expose that, hey, there really is some really cool stuff happening here. And the more you do that, the more people start to believe and start to add on to it. And that's really been, I think, kind of a key to success in this community is that feedback loop I referenced before, where you see one good thing happen and it inspires the next person to keep doing more good things. But it also creates a situation where, you know, sometimes it feels fragile, to be honest, that, you know, we have to keep going with all these successes or we might lose momentum or, you know, something could go wrong. And so, but thankfully, you know, more and more people are stepping up to support all of these endeavors and keep these things happening in the community. And that's when you know you really have success, is when kind of the more mainstream thinkers and of the community are grabbing on to these new concepts and making them part of their daily routines as well.
Back to the phones, and Susie in Eau Claire is with us. Hi, Susie.
Good morning.
Morning.
I am a longtime resident of Eau Claire. I came here for college in 1990 and have more or less stayed here since then. And I was lucky enough to get to be sort of in one of the front rows as Eau Claire started to turn, and I think that happened in the early 2000s. A friend of mine had an idea to start a children's museum and asked me to help, and oftentimes, as we started talking to people in the community in those early days, we were confronted with an attitude of, that's a great idea, but I don't think that's going to happen here in Eau Claire. And it was surprising to us. It was surprising to people that we talked to, the Children's Museum founders in La Crosse, where they said there was such a can-do attitude in La Crosse, and we just didn't find that in Eau Claire. But things started to turn around, and I think that happened because there was intentionality. The city led a downtown revitalization project that was really important. That was going on in 2000. We were able to plug into that. There were private sector leaders like Charlie Grossclaw from Royal Credit Union who saw the vision and believed in it and was willing to invest in that. And there was community feedback sessions that were painful at times because people didn't seem to like change, but there were others who could see the vision. They pressed forward, and now instead of, hey, that's not going to happen, I hear more an attitude of, what's next? What can we do next? And it's a really refreshing change.
Yeah, and you're hearing that too, Nick?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, Susie completely nailed it there. I mean, that is exactly how it was in those early 2000s and probably before. And it is the way it is now in that it's the complete opposite, where, like I said, all ideas are on the table. Anything is possible. I mean, one really great example of this is the massive art center that is under construction right now. It's a $45 or so million art center right at the confluence of the two rivers that is slated to open a year from this September. And that went through one of those painful processes that she mentions here just a few years ago, and that we needed to have a referendum from both the city and the county, and one answer was yes to move it forward, the other answer was no, all at the same time, so a very complicated vote. And that was a situation that had been voted down in previous decades, like a convention center, an arts center, a facility that could host larger events. Had come up a couple different times, most recently I think in the late 90s, and had been roundly defeated in public votes. But when it came back up this time, about 4 or 5 years ago, while it was still a difficult process to go through publicly, the ultimate votes were just enormously in favor of this project to move forward. And to me, that was a day that I think was a key turning point in this community, because it was not just about that huge art center and the public investment in that and all the private dollars that are going into it. It was kind of a referendum on an entire way of thinking about ourselves. And it was the day that I think we really realized that our community had an entirely new attitude towards itself, that we could do things. And that's what makes things exciting in Eau Claire right now. And we continue to take that energy and build it forward.
We're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking about Eau Claire's renaissance.
Tall. I was sleeping on a tailgate singing Willie Nelson songs. You were sleepily smiling, but you always sing along. I was 17, I was 10 feet tall.
Tapping my foot here to them Cooley Boys and their song 10 Feet Tall, an Eau Claire band. Playing them because Eau Claire is the topic of discussion. Eau Claire is undergoing a cultural renaissance. It is a question that was explored in a recent Milwaukee Journal piece looking at how the city has embraced arts and technology and has brought in both young people and business and tourism. And we're wondering, how did Eau Claire do this? And can your community do this too? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We've been hearing from a lot of people who recently moved to Eau Claire. Vinny from Minneapolis moved to Eau Claire, and Bobby from New York moved to Eau Claire. We have Jen, who on Facebook says, I moved here in the 90s intending to stay for 2 years and escape to something better. Nope. She writes, I'm staying. Tori on Facebook says, I stayed in Eau Claire after I graduated from UW-Eau Claire in 2011 for a job at the university, thinking that this would be a 1 or 2 year thing and I would move on to something or somewhere more interesting, in quotes. Now I own a home and I'm starting a family here. I can't imagine leaving. So how does Eau Claire attract a lot of artsy millennials? Nick Myers, our guest, publisher of Volume 1, an arts and culture magazine in the Chippewa Valley, owner of the local store and Volume 1 Gallery, and creator and part owner of the Oxbow Motel and the Lakely, a boutique hotel and farm-to-table restaurant and bar. He was quoted in that recent Milwaukee Journal Sentinel piece, How Eau Claire Became a Magnet for Artsy Millennials. So Eau Claire has seen a 3% bump in population since 2010. That's the second biggest increase among Wisconsin's 10 largest cities, trailing only Madison. Census estimates show that between 2015 and 2016, the city attracted more than 530 new residents. By comparison, Oshkosh, which is nearly identical in size to Eau Claire, lost 67 people between those same years. All right, so Nick, what advice do you have for Oshkosh and other cities that are not attracting a population or millennials, but losing them?
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of the assets that we have in common here in Wisconsin are those natural resources. So the first thing you want to do is maximize that stuff. But of course, that takes time and investment and dollars to build trails and you know, beaches and parks and things like that. But that's one of the first things that we all have in common here in Wisconsin. We're very lucky in that we have right inside of our city a lake and two rivers that come together right in the heart of downtown. So that helps, certainly. But aside from your natural resources, again, it's building that attitude first, and it has to be legit. You can't just start saying it because it sounds good that things are positive and we're all moving in the right direction. You have to really build that and encourage that. The economic development community here has really embraced entrepreneurship as a core mission over these last few years especially, and we're seeing really great and strong programs out of the university and the technical college and the city and the Chamber of Commerce and all these places to have entrepreneurship programs and teach people how to bring their own job with them. You know, some people will move here because they can be located anywhere, like I mentioned before. Some people will come here and need to find a job and hopefully can, depending on their fields and things. But the other thing you can do is start your own. And so people are doing that a lot as well. And sometimes you have a success story, too, where one of those will break out and become a major employer in the area, like in the case of Jamf Software, which people talk a lot about. So the more you can encourage people to build their own thing, that tends to build a community as well. So those are a few points, I suppose.
Let's go back to the phone. Scott in Alma Center is with us. Hi, Scott.
Good morning, Joy. And thanks, Nick, for being on today. I really appreciate it. This is a great show. I want to give Nick a shout-out, not also to Volume 1, but also to Family Connections. That's a great subsidiary of their magazine. It gives us a lot of ideas in the surrounding communities about what's going on in Eau Claire for families. I just think that Eau Claire is extremely attractive, especially for those of us who do have families, because there is so much to do in Eau Claire. I know a caller earlier mentioned the Children's Museum, which my wife and I just took our toddler to for the first time the other day, and she absolutely loved it. But aside from that, there's all the parks, all the pools, all the mall, and everything that there is to do for families up there. We make the 45-minute drive to Eau Claire at least once a week just to participate in the culture and all the activities up there. I went to school at UW-Eau Claire for elementary education. I had an opportunity to teach in the school district up there at different schools. Absolutely phenomenal school district in Eau Claire. Just extremely attractive for families. So thanks for being on, and thanks for putting on the show today.
Thank you, Scott. So it's very family-oriented too, Nick?
It is. I mean, that's one of the interesting pieces here, and that's always been the case, is that it's very much considered a family-friendly area. There's lots of free activities to do with families, indoors, outdoors, all kinds of things. And with this, you know, millennial push, I mean, it's more a little bit more about young professionals and people in that stage of their lives. But there's also millennials that are getting close to the years of wanting to do the family thing and kind of slow down and maybe get out of the big city and stuff like that as well. So we attract those people too. But more and more, we're adding the type of cultural amenities that can satiate those appetites of the people who want the big city. And when they still need that fix, we are close, really well situated actually, between, you know, Madison and Minneapolis to go and get those things, but to live a more, you know, a better pace of life, in my opinion, on a day-to-day basis back here in Eau Claire. Mm.
So what's so important about attracting millennials to a community?
Well, there's a quote that I often talk about that was said by a guy named William James, who was a philosopher and did his work in the late 1800s. It says, "The community stagnates without the impulse of the individual, and the impulse dies without the interest of the community." A lot of millennials still have a lot of impulses to create things, do things, make things happen. They've got the time sometimes to do those things. Maybe they don't have the spouses and the kids and other things like that that take up so much time in later stages of life. And so if you want to have people that are creating things and having those impulses to build the community, you need young people to do that a lot of the times. And what you're finding here is a community that is more and more interested in supporting the impulses of those types of people. So to keep that whole loop moving and to keep a community moving forward, you need young people with fresh ideas and energy to push the rock up the hill, whether that's their own personal rock of their careers or their businesses or their ideas, or it's pushing the communal rock up the hill, I guess, as it were, of just trying to make a place better and continuing to build out and explore what we can become. So millennials are key to that energy, and thankfully we have a university system here, a technical college system, that brings young people to the area to begin with, and we're just getting better and better at convincing them to hang around afterwards and continuing to be a part of this momentum.
Sarah on Facebook says, "I love Eau Claire. I've lived here since 1990. Volume 1 has certainly magnified the creative energy, and I give them lots of credit. There's natural beauty, UW-Eau Claire, and excellent music programs in local high schools. We have so many strengths."
Yeah, we do. We got to get off the Volume 1 thing for a little while, though, because there's really so many great things happening. Even we talked about the Confluence Arts Center, but the next big thing on the horizon is there's a couple here who started a business a long time ago. They met at the university, called the Sonnentags, who just gave a $10 million gift to start this amazing new event and recreation complex. That's a huge partnership between the university, the YMCA, Mayo Clinic. Like, that's one thing that we're really good at here is partnerships, kind of unprecedented levels of partnerships between the major players in the community, in education and in business and in philanthropy, doing really big projects together and putting things forward in a way that has not been seen before. So it's a very collaborative environment. We've got that going in the River Prairie area of Altoona, which is our very nearby neighbor. They have enormous development happening there right now. And then there's longstanding things, that ideas that have been around. Banbury Place, which is the now name of that former Uniroyal tire plant that closed 25 years ago, is home to artist studios and new upstart manufacturing facilities. There's Artisan Forge, which is a new artist community that started a collaborative space that's building on a two-story addition because they have so much demand for artist studios and spaces and things. So there's just, I mean, the list really goes on and on in this community right now.
Briefly, what is that $10 million recreation center going to be?
Well, that's just the first gift. The first gift was worth $10 million. I don't know off the top of my head how much that whole thing is worth, but I think it's a 34-acre site along the Chippewa River that's going to become a 5,000-seat arena event center of space, and can have convention areas as well. They expect additional hotels to go up along with that, and it's just the projects are lined up and continuing to develop.
David in Eau Claire is with us. Hi, David.
Hi, how you doing?
I understand you just graduated from UW Eau Claire.
Yeah, I since you're talking about like bringing millennials to the era, this area, this fits in well with what I'm going to talk about. As a university student, I've seen a lot of my friends have opportunities in the Eau Claire area that they might not have gotten elsewhere. I had a friend who's a creative writing major who just did a like weekend with Nicholas Butler, who's like a famous author from the area. And the ages ranged from she was 21 and she was the youngest to 75 years old. So a lot of different people, you know, collaborating together with writing. And I had another friend who was a computer sciences major, and he was able to basically build the Revival Records website, which is a new record company in the downtown area. And so going to Eau Claire, you get a lot of opportunities to work with the local community that you might not get going to a bigger university. And so I just wanted to praise the university as well as giving millennials like us opportunities to go out into the community and to help out. And actually, that friend who went to the Nicholas Butler residency is also working on a nonprofit to help out students with disabilities in the area as well. And so that's like another example of business ventures coming out of the millennials as well.
Thank you so much, David. We have just a minute to go, Nick. And gosh, so many people want to brag about Eau Claire a little bit. And I think this is great. For those who are listening along and watching what's going on in Eau Claire, any takeaway advice you might offer them?
Well, come visit, first of all. I mean, we've got, you know, brand new hotels downtown, like including the Oxbow Hotel, which I'm a part of, and the Lismore downtown, with great farm-focused restaurants happening. And you can see all the stuff for yourself, get a sense of the vibe. I mean, you can a great long weekend, and you can kind of check out a lot of the stuff. You can see parts of the music, the retail, the educational opportunities, and the university, and all these things we've talked about, and many, many more are all here to be experienced as a visitor first and perhaps a resident later.
Yep. See you soon. Nick Meyer is the publisher of Volume 1, the arts and culture magazine for the Chippewa Valley, owner of the local store, Volume 1 Gallery, a creator part owner of the Oxbow Hotel and Lakely. Thanks to Brianne Shasso for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.